Okay, let's move on. We have a couple more briefings, and then the commission wants to go into executive session to discuss an item. We have reached number 15, periodic status review. This is a briefing. Penny Becker, I don't think we've ever met.
Welcome. Yeah, it's my first time here, so thank you so much for having me. Good afternoon. I'm fairly new to this position, so you'll probably remember Harriet Allen, who was my predecessor. So I started in this position in September. I'm the listing and recovery section manager. So all of the species of concern are within my section. And I'm just going to give you a very brief overview of some of the status reviews that we're working on in the diversity division for our threatened and endangered species. So currently we have 46 listed species. Of those, 28 are in the endangered category, 10 in the threatened category, 8 in sensitive, and then outside of our listed species, we have 113 candidates that we're working our way through and going to get to status reviews on those too to see if they warrant protection as well. As far as the listed species, we've got the most recent are from 2006. Some of you will remember the three prairie species were last listed in 2006. And so this periodic status reviews allow us to take our 46 listed species and really evaluate the effectiveness of our recovery measures that we're putting into action for these that we've already got on our list. And WAC 232.12.297 requires that we look at these species every 5 years to determine whether they should be uplisted. So, for instance, if they're listed as sensitive, do they need to go to threatened or endangered? Or downlisted, our measures are effective and we're making some progress in getting the species back, so they should go from endangered to threatened or threatened to sensitive. Or perhaps even a downlisting could be a delisting if we find that they don't need that level of protection. Or we could find that nothing has really changed since we last listed them and therefore there's no change in status. So in addition to every 5 years, we will go ahead and take a look at those species. In between there, if we have a petition from the public through the listing WAC that I mentioned earlier, we have to take that petition that would come to the director, and if it shows scientific data that a species is possibly failing, declining, or vulnerable, then within 60 days, the agency has to act, stating the reasons that they're going to deny the petition, or we're going to accept the petition and initiate a status review. So if we accept the petition, it doesn't mean we're going to change the status. It simply means we need to get our data together and put this review together. So as I said before, the section that works on this is our listing and recovery section. Previously, it was called threatened and endangered species section. For these status reviews, it's going to be a fairly streamlined process so that we're able to get through all of these 46 listed species in a decent amount of time, especially for those that we don't have a lot of new information on, but those that we have a lot of new data that we've been collecting or there may be some change in biological information, those may be more lengthy. So you may have seen February 11th, we put out a press release to the public that asked for interested parties to help us with any information to inform our status reviews. And so that is any information on species demographics, occurrences, habitat conditions, threats, trends over time. You know, we've got some great naturalists and groups that can help us with information on that. Conservation measures that are working and benefiting the species, and any new data since the last time the species was looked at in its review. Underway right now, we have one status review sort of outside that five-year process that we already have initiated, and it's the Stellar Sea Lion. So this one we've already begun because the federal delisting has occurred for the Stellar Sea Lion. So we've had some indication that the Eastern Distinct Population segment is doing really well. So the federal government has delisted it, but obviously we have our own process here for Washington. So even though we've seen the entire DPS do well, we have to look at that specific portion of Washington piece and see how our population is doing and assess that. So then the notice that we were starting this status review came out in 2012. So we're working on finishing up that status review now, and that'll be completed, sent out for our public process, and then a recommendation to you once we figure out the correct thing to do for them. But so far, just the data that we're putting together is showing that our populations are doing better than they have in the past as well. So here's a list of the species that are on our first batch that we're going to tackle. And so you'll notice this is probably about a third of the species that we have on our threatened, endangered, and sensitive list. The idea is that we'd like to get this accomplished in 3 years. So we put them in three different batches to try to knock these out in a short amount of time. And they range from some mammals like pygmy rabbit that we're doing active recovery on, to western pond turtle, and then woodland caribou. One of the species that has been added to this list since the last time we announced it to the public is western gray squirrel there at the bottom. So when I talked about the petitions from the public, we received a petition for western gray squirrel. So originally we had western gray squirrel in our third batch for status reviews because we'd liked a little more time to put our scientific information together. We've got a lot of active surveys in the field, and we'd like to have that broad picture of how the species is doing to inform our status reviews. But since we received that petition, we need to gather all the information we currently have and make the best decision possible for western gray squirrel. And several of these species up here, we put them in different time blocks because of the information available. So, for instance, the Columbia white-tailed deer, it just had a status review from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service that we participated in. So we have a lot of good information up front that we can go ahead and put into those status reviews. So a lot of those species we have the best information on, like gray wolf, greater sage grouse, etc., that we have a lot of up-to-date information. Those status reviews are going to be fairly simple for us to put that data together. So, like I said, we asked the public for all the information that we could get on these species to help inform our status reviews. So we've been working with our public affairs folks, and they put together a website so that the public could have access to for a very quick and easy way to go in and insert their data. So they go to our website and they can see all the species that are currently under review and then click that button, submit comments online, and it automatically goes to this form that they can upload their information. So we've received more than 40 pieces of information from different people so far, and it just keeps coming in. So that's going to be really helpful for our biologists to add that information to what we've been able to get from us and from other agencies. Here's the second two batches that I referred to of species that we're going to be working on. These have been divided out so that you can see the staff, many of them cross over. We're using the same people for a lot of these, so we're dividing the workload out evenly. But also we put them in these batches because of data that's available, or it may coincide with a federal process that's ongoing. So there's status reviews, for instance, from NOAA for sea turtles. That are going to be finishing up this next year. So we can use that for our Washington-based status review in the 2015 batch for leatherbacks and loggerheads and green sea turtles. Others, they have processes that are ongoing, such as the grizzly bear EIS, that may have some more information that we can put together in a later time, so we put that in a later batch. There's some ongoing work on Fisher, for example. You'll see the two stars there indicating we want more data. And there's an ongoing work in the Olympics after our reintroduction from 2008 to 2010. Starting this last summer, there was a lot of monitoring effort that was begun. We'd like one more year at least of data to be able to include in that and see how many detections we get of the species. So there's many examples of why we put them where we did. So in conclusion, periodic status reviews, this is going to be an ongoing thing because we're required every 5 years to finish these. We're going to keep that website up and running, and whenever we are able to get to a new batch, we'll upload that and the public will be able to comment. In the meantime, we've got our biologists working like crazy to get these status reviews done. And there's going to be a consistent opportunity for the public to get input into the process, into the status reviews. And then if there are any decisions to be made for a change of status for those species, that's going to also go out to for public comment before it comes to the commission. And then once it's vetted from the public, then we're going to present it to you if it deserves a listing change. Any questions?
Okay. Excellent job.
Thank you.
Commissioner Carpenter, we'll go with you first.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know if I have a question as much as a brief comment. This was great. Maybe in the next time you do it, you could show us just with an up arrow or down arrow or horizontal arrow which way they're trending, you know, over some period of time. I just might find that helpful.
Sure. We could definitely try, but I think the one of the things that we're going to be working on this next year when we're putting these status reviews together is to really get those trends together so that we know what's happening with a lot of these species. We may have some general idea, but I would be conjecturing at this point. So.
Fair enough. Thank you.
Commissioner Mankin was next.
I'm interested. A couple questions here. The blue whale.
Mm-hmm.
Does the blue whale actually occur in state waters?
Yes, it does.
How frequently does it? I know it's on the endangered species list, the federal endangered species list.
Right. So I think it's one of the whales that is a little bit more infrequent, but I would have to look it up myself to see exactly how often we have it. But I wanted to remind you, too, while I have you all, that last time we had our diversity division in front of you, we sent out these threatened and endangered species guides, and I use it as my Bible because it's difficult to remember everything about all these species. So that's certainly in here, and I can look it up for you or make sure that everybody has a copy. So.
Yeah, I guess my question would be is if you listed the blue whale, what is it that you could do about it, and what would be your delisting criteria?
That's right. So with a species like whales that are really managed by NOAA, we don't have a lot of ways to affect recovery for it, right? And so that falls in a different category for us versus the more terrestrial species that we can affect a lot of change on. But certainly when a species is listed for us, it elevates that level of it needs conservation help. We direct our biologists to work with NOAA actively for those species, etc.
One more question. Mm-hmm. I thought that we had on the state listing, we had the Pinto abalone.
Mm.
Do we not have that? Did I miss it on here?
So there's a few things that are kind of left over from when we used to be the Department of Game and the Department of Fish. And one of the things is that the WAC that I referred to, the listing WAC, does not allow us to classify shellfish or fish game fish that were managed by the former Department of Fish. So
who does it?
What's that?
So who does it?
So Nate, you want to help me with that one? The federal government definitely has them listed, but as far as state goes?
Yep, we simply don't have the authority to classify those particular species into this category of sensitive, protected, threatened, endangered.
So they're managed by our fish program, but they don't actually have a way to formally list them like we do these other species.
So they can't be listed in the state?
Mm-hmm. Effectively.
Okay. We can only do what the legislature allows us to do.
Well, then I can go out and harvest and eat them, right? No, that's a point of concern. I mean, the abalone, the Pinto abalone, is the focus of a program within the department as well as within NOAA.
Right.
But keeping captive broods of them and trying to reintroduce
yes.
them, and the numbers are continuing to decline.
Right.
Nobody seems to be able to identify what the cause is.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's another one that I would say that NOAA is working on Pinto abalone. I know specifically we met with them, and they're working with our fish program to work on Pinto abalone. So it's not like no one is giving it attention, but more of it is coming from NOAA instead of WDFW as far as the listing process.
Thank you.
Okay. Sure.
Commissioner Schmitten?
Thank you, Chair. And Penny, welcome to both in the commission. Look forward to working with you. I have two questions. First, remind me the difference between sensitive vis-a-vis endangered or threatened. Dr. Mankin and I both worked at NOAA for our careers, and we didn't use that terminology, sensitive. The question is, again, a whale question. In your 2015 status review batch, you have the gray whale. The gray whale was delisted by NOAA in 1994-95 and has continued to sustain itself fairly well around 20,000 animals. Why would you spend time, or is it just a case of taking it off the list, finally doing your homework to do that? So that was one of the two questions. Sensitive, the difference between the T&E and gray whales.
Okay. So the first question, endangered is any species native to Washington, and we look within Washington's borders to see if it's at threat of extinction within its historical range. Threatened means that it's likely to become endangered in the foreseeable future. And then sensitive is that it's likely to become endangered and threatened without those threats ameliorated. So that's the lowest category that we have, in a nutshell. And then for your other question about gray whale, there are some species on here that I think we really do need to, like you said, do our homework and see if they need to be taken off. There's other that it makes it a little more complex when we're looking at just our Washington stocks. As you know, we've got more than just the distinct population to look at. We've also got where are their feeding grounds, where are their breeding grounds, and sometimes those things intersect. So those of some species that live within Washington waters may feed one place and another place, and so they've got different threats that affect them. So sometimes it's a little more complex. Gray whale specifically, I don't know which one of those it falls into, but perhaps it could be taken off our list.
That's a very good answer, by the way.
Thank you.
You do have a DSP, even though most of them are migratory, coming into Washington waters and leaving, but out of the Mackay area. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Smith.
And extend my welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
By threatened, you said native to Washington. Does that mean, could it mean transitory as well as residential?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So for instance, if it's a migratory bird that is only found here transiently, would still fall under that category.
Okay, yeah. Yep. Simple. Thank you.
Just natural occurrence, not something that was brought here from humans. Yeah.
And is there a date by which that is, I mean, flyways mix up and all
historical,
that?
Yeah,
historical,
yes.
Historical date?
That. Yeah. No, there's not. Within our WAC, the words are historical, so there isn't a definition for that. Yep.
Commissioner Holtzmiller, you look like
you're
just
nervous twitch.
Looking like you're wanting that microphone to turn on. Okay, anything else? No, you did a superb job. Good
Thank
job
you.
For your first.
Thank you very much. You're very easy on me.